Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Mem Rabbi Avram Goldhar and today Maseches Chulin Daf Nun Gimel, the third parak, Eilu Treifas. The Zichu Maseches Chulin program has been generously sponsored anonymously to help bring a lasting kinyan of Torah to Lomdei Daf Yomi worldwide. So the three daps we're going to focus on. Number one, Abai said, Naktin Ein Drusa El B'Yod. We hold through tradition that the law of a clawed animal only applies where it was clawed by the predator's paw, as opposed to the hind leg, which does not make it a treifa. Furthermore, it only applies if attacked bitziporn, with its claw, but not with its tooth. Also, drusa only applies if it clawed medas, with intent, but not if it clawed unintentionally. Finally, drusa only applies if it clawed mechaim, while alive, but not if it clawed after its death. The Gemara assumes this means where a dead predator fell onto its victim and objects that if clawing unintentionally does not make a treifa, obviously a dead predator falling onto an animal or not. The Gemara answers that the cases where the predator clawed its victim, and they chopped off its paw before it could pull it out. One might have thought that Bahadi Dadar is Shadi Zahari. It injects its poison as it inserts its claws into the victim, and the case before would be a treifa. Abai is teaching that Bahadi the Shalif Shadi Zahari. It injects its poison as it removes its claws, and the case before would not make a treifa. Point number two, Amarama argue about the status where it's uncertain if an animal was clawed. Rav says, in choshishin l'safik drusa, we're not concerned for an uncertain case of a clawed animal. And Shmuel says, we are concerned for safik drusa. The Gemara limits their machlokas, safik all, safik lo all, where it's uncertain whether or not the predator entered among the animals. All agree we assume it didn't enter. If it's uncertain if the predator was a cat or a dog, which does not fatally claw, we may assume it was a cat. If a lion entered but sat quietly beside the cows, emar shalama shavei, I may say, it made peace with them and it didn't attack them. If it tore off the head of one of them, we assume its fury was calmed and it didn't attack further. If the lion was roaring and the cows bowled, we assume they were frightened of each other. Their argument is where the lion is quiet and the cows are mooing. Shmuel's concerned they're mooing because they were clawed, and Rav says they were simply afraid. Amemer says the halacha follows Shmuel. And point number three, the sons of Rabbi Chiya said, Drusa Sha'amru, the clawed one about which the sages spoke, meaning an animal which is possibly clawed by a lion, Sricha Bedika Kenega B'nei Ma'ayim, requires examination around the internal organs, meaning the back, belly, and the sides around the organs, for signs of reddened meat, which indicate an infusion of poison. Rabbi Yosef reported that this ruling was issued earlier by Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus. Ilfa asked if the halacha of drusa also applies to the simanim, the trachea and the esophagus, or not, since their material is strong. And Rabbi Zera said that this question was already resolved from Rav's ruling that a drusa requires examination keneged beis achal kul around the entire body cavity, ba'afil b'simanim, including the pipes themselves. Thus, Rav requires a more extensive inspection than Shmuel. So once again, the 3 points are, number one, Abai said, Naktin ein drusa el b'yod. We hold through tradition that the law of a clawed animal only applies where it was clawed by the predator's paw, as opposed to the hind leg, which does not make it a treifa. Furthermore, it only applies if attacked bitziporn, with its claw, but not with its tooth. Also, drusa only applies if it clawed medas, with intent, but not if it clawed unintentionally. Finally, drusa only applies if it clawed mechaim, while alive, but not if it clawed after its death. The Gemara assumes this means where a dead predator fell onto its victim and objects that if clawing unintentionally does not make a treifa, obviously a dead predator falling onto an animal or not. The Gemara answers that the cases where the predator clawed its victim, and they chopped off its paw before it could pull it out. One might have thought that Bahadi Dadar is Shadi Zahari. It injects its poison as it inserts its claws into the victim, and the case before would be a treifa. Abai is teaching that Bahadi the Shalif Shadi Zahari. It injects its poison as it removes its claws, and the case before would not make a treifa. Point number two, Amarama argue about the status where it's uncertain if an animal was clawed. Rav says, in choshishin l'safik drusa, we're not concerned for an uncertain case of a clawed animal. And Shmuel says, we are concerned for safik drusa. The Gemara limits their machlokas, safik all, safik lo all, where it's uncertain whether or not the predator entered among the animals. All agree we assume it didn't enter. If it's uncertain if the predator was a cat or a dog, which does not fatally claw, we may assume it was a cat. If a lion entered but sat quietly beside the cows, emar shalama shavei, I may say, it made peace with them and it didn't attack them. If it tore off the head of one of them, we assume its fury was calmed and it didn't attack further. If the lion was roaring and the cows bowled, we assume they were frightened of each other. Their argument is where the lion is quiet and the cows are mooing. Shmuel's concerned they're mooing because they were clawed, and Rav says they were simply afraid. Amemer says the halacha follows Shmuel. And point number three, the sons of Rabbi Chiya said, Drusisha Amru, the clawed one about which the sages spoke, meaning an animal which is possibly clawed by a lion, Svich Bedika Kenege B'nei Ma'ayim, requires examination around the internal organs, meaning the back, belly, and the sides around the organs, for signs of reddened meat, which indicate an infusion of poison. Rav Yosef reported that this ruling was issued earlier by Rabbi Hanina ben Antigonus. Ilfa asked if the halakha of drusa also applies to the simanim, the trachea and the esophagus, or not, since their material is strong. And Rabbi Zera said that this question was already resolved from Rav's ruling that a drusa requires examination keneged beis hachal kul around the entire body cavity, ba'afil b'simanim, including the pipes themselves. Thus, Rav requires a more extensive inspection than Shmuel. All right, so now we go to Siman Daf Nun Gimel. Our standard siman is a Nigerian prince. A Nigerian prince. So here goes. The Rabbanan who were invited to the Nigerian prince's cruel animal show featuring a lion and three sheep, prepared to see if there would be a drusa with a claw and intent, looked away when the lion tore off the head of one of the sheep and were able to assume it didn't touch the other one, which would now be kosher even without the usual bedika done to a drusa. Once again, slow motion. The Rabbanan who were invited to the Nigerian prince's Nigerian prince? That must mean we're on Daf Nun Gimel. The Rabbanan who were invited to the Nigerian prince's cruel animal show featuring a lion and three sheep prepared to see if there would be a drusa with a claw and intent, which reminds us, Abai said, Nakdin ain't drusa el biyad. We hold, through tradition, that the law of a clawed animal only applies where it was clawed by the predator's paw, as opposed to the hind leg, which does not make it a trefa. Furthermore, it only applies if attacked bitziporin with its claw, but not with its tooth. Also, drusa only applies if it clawed midas, with intent, but not if it clawed unintentionally. Finally, drusa only applies if it clawed mechaim while alive, but not if it clawed after its death. So the Rabbanan who were invited to the Nigerian prince's cruel animal show featuring a lion and three sheep, prepared to see if there would be a drusa with a claw and intent, looked away when the lion tore off the head of one of the sheep and were able to assume it didn't touch the other one, which reminds us, Amraim argued about the status where it's uncertain if an animal was clawed. Rav says, Ein choshishin lesafik drusa. We're not concerned for an uncertain case of a clawed animal. And Shmuel says, we are concerned for safik drusa. If a lion entered but sat quietly beside cows, I may say it made peace with them and didn't attack them. If it tore off the head of one of them, we assume its fury was calmed and it did not attack further. So the Rabbanan who were invited to the Nigerian prince's cruel animal show featuring a lion and three sheep prepared to see if there would be a drusa with a claw and intent, looked away when the lion tore off the head of one of the sheep and were able to assume it didn't touch the other one, which would now be kosher even without the usual bedika done to a drusa, which reminds us, the sons of Rabbi Chiya said, Drusa Sha'amru, the clawed one, about which the sages spoke, meaning an animal which was possibly clawed by a lion, Tzricha Bedika Keneged B'nei Me'ayim, requires examination around its internal organs, meaning the back, the belly, and the sides around the organs, for signs of reddened meat, which indicate an infusion of poison. So once again, the Rabbanan who were invited to the Nigerian prince's cruel show featuring a lion and three sheep, prepared to see if there would be a drusa with a claw and intent, looked away when the lion tore off the head of one of the sheep and were able to assume it didn't touch the other one, which would now be kosher even without the usual bedika done to a drusa. All right, so now it's time for a four ba'abach hazara. Daf mem tes, so the simmer daf mem tes is meat, and we use a butcher in the simmer. So here goes. The butcher, that must be on daf. Memtes, the butcher who knows the hole in the lungs that he was handling with his hands and was unsure if the hole was there from before or if he created it, which reminds us, if the lung was found punctured in a place which the hand of the butcher handles and the hole may have been made by the butcher after shechita, talin and olo talin, do we attribute the hole to the butcher's handling, which was after shechita, or do we not attribute it to him and it's a trefa? The Gemara records Amoraim who held each way and says the halacha is that we can attribute the hole to the butcher's handling. So the butcher who noticed the hole in the lungs he was handling with his hands and was unsure if the hole was there from before or if he created it, was amused watching his helper Yishmael bless all the Kohanim who came in to purchase some chelev shel hakeva, which reminds us, Rabbi Shai said that regarding the chelev which was on the keva, the abu mesim, the fourth stomach, Kohanim, who received the keva as a gift for Kohanim, have the practice of permitting it, following Rabbi Yishmael's teaching in his ancestor's name. The simon for this permit is Yishmael Kohana Masai Kahane. Yishmael the Kohen helps Kohanim. We find him helping Kohanim in a brisa discussing Birchas Kohanim, where the pasuk instructs Kohanim to bless Bnei Israel. Rabbi Shmuel says this only teaches about the Kohanim blessing Bnei Israel, but the bracha for Kohanim themselves is written in the later phrase, Vani Avarachim, and I will bless them, meaning Kohanim. Thus, Kohanim bless Bnei Israel, and Akash Baruch Hu blesses Kohanim. Rabbi Kiva brings a different pasuk to support the Kohanim are blessed. So the butcher who noticed a hole in the lungs that he was handling with his hands and was unsure if the hole was there from before or if he created it was amused watching his helper Yishmael bless all the kohanim who came in to purchase some chelev shal hakeva. When a man burst into the store demanding a refund on an animal that had a puncture that was sealed by chelev tameh, which is not considered a seal, which reminds us, Rav says chelev tahor is so same. Permitted fat conceal a puncture and prevent the animal from becoming a trefa. But chelev tameh ain't a sosem. But forbidden fat cannot seal a puncture. Rav Sheshe says that both conceal punctures. Daf Nun. So the Simran Daf Nun is a non-stop flight. So here goes. The passenger on the non-stop flight. Non-stop flight? That must be on Daf Nun. The passenger on the non-stop flight who showed his seatmate how to compare holes in the intestines by rubbing on the new ones, which reminds us, Gemara discusses Mekifin, comparing holes in the B'nai Ma'ayim, the Re, and the Kana to determine if the puncture was there before or after the Shechita. So the passenger on the non-stop flight who showed his seatmate how to compare holes in the intestines by rubbing on the new ones stared at the man who thought he could stomach the video identifying the Karas HaPnimi as the area the butchers exposed when they slit the belly of the hanging animal open, which reminds us, the Mishnah on Daf Mem Beis Amunav taught that if the Karas HaPnimi, the inner paunch, the first stomach was punctured or the outer Karas was torn, it's a trefa. Amoraim give numerous definitions of the Karas HaPnimi. Rabba Bar Rav Huna says it's the Marfata, which means the area the butchers exposed when they slit the belly of the hanging animal open. This opinion was followed in Nahar Dah, and a Mamar explained that all the other opinions are accommodated by this opinion. So the passenger on the non-stop flight who showed his seatmate how to compare holes in the intestines by rubbing on the new ones stared at the man who thought he could stomach the video identifying the Karas HaPnimi as the area the butchers exposed when they slit the belly of the hanging animal open, but got horribly nauseous next to the man watching a video if a tear in the Karas HaChitzon needs a tefach or rove to make it a treif, which reminds us in the Mishnah Rabbi Yehuda said regarding a torn Karas HaChitzon that hagdoa tefach, for a large animal the measure is a tefach, v'katana beruba, and for a small animal the measure is with most of the Karas HaChitzon. Rabbi Lazar says that a large animal doesn't mean the very largest animal, nor does a small animal mean the very smallest animal. Rather, koshin nikraba tefach will have a ruba, any case where a tefach of the Karas is torn, and it is not yet most of the Karas, this is the large animal, the Mishnah. And wherever a tear of most of the Karas would be more than a tefach, this is the small animal of the Mishnah. Daf Nun Av. So the Simran Daf Nun Av is a beaver because beavers gnaw. So here goes. The Shochet used beaver skins. Beaver? That must mean we're on Daf Nun Av. Gnaw. The Shochet used beaver skins to teach his students about Machat Shenimses Ba'obi Besakosos and the difference between if it punctured one wall or two, which reminds us, it was taught in the Braisa Machat Shenimses Ba'obi Besakosos. If a needle was found in the thickness of the reticulum, a double-walled bulge at the front of the paunch, if the needle only protrudes from one side, meaning from the inner wall, it's kosher because the outer wall is presumably intact. If it protrudes through both walls, it's a trefa if the puncture occurred before the Shechita. The Gemara goes on to detail how this is determined. So the Shochet used beaver skins to teach his students about Machat Shenimses Ba'obi Besakosos and the difference between if it punctured one wall or two was the lighter when a beaver jumped to the ground through a skylight, demonstrating to them that if the animal assessed itself to make the jump, there's no risk Ivarim, which reminds us, the Mishnah taught that Nafla Mina Gag, if an animal fell from a roof, it's a trefa because of a concern for risuk evarim, concussion of the limbs. Rav Huna says, if one left an animal above on a roof and came later and found it below on the ground, we're not concerned for risuk evarim because we assume the animal descended intentionally rather than fell. So the Shochet used beaver skins to teach the students about Machat Shenimses Ba'obi Besakosos and the difference between if a punctured one wall or two was the lighter when a beaver jumped to the ground through a skylight, demonstrating to them that if the animal assessed itself to make the jump, there's no risk evarim. And another beaver who fell off the roof began to walk around. Which reminds us, regarding a Mishnah's ruling that a nefula, a fallen animal, is a trefa, Rav says, amda in its tzricha me'ez la'ez, if the animal stood up after falling, it doesn't require waiting 24 hours before Shechita, and it's permitted immediately. Ordinarily, a nefula can be permitted if it survives 24 hours before being shechted. Still, it certainly requires an internal examination. If it walked after the fall, it doesn't even require an examination and is permitted outright. Rav Chiya Bar Ashi requires an examination in this case as well. Daf Nun Beis. So the Siman Daf Nun Beis is a newbie to Yiddishkeit. So here goes. The newbie to Yiddishkeit. That must be more on Daf Nun Bays. The newbie to Yiddishkeit who regretted his past when he used to torture birds by setting out glue traps and making them a trefa when they fell while trying to fly away. Which reminds us, in a case of dibbuk, glue, where a bird was caught on a glue board and was pulled to the ground when it tried to fly away, Rav Ashi permits the bird, but a Maimor forbids it considering it nefua, fallen. In the first version, all agree that Bechad Gapa, where one wing was stuck to the trap, it's permitted because the flapping of its second wing softened its fall. They argue where both wings were stuck, where Maimor reasons it would not slow its fall, and Rav Ashi holds it can possibly lift itself with the stumps of its wings. The Gemara brings a second version of the Machlokas. So the newbie to Yiddishkeit, who regretted his past when he used to torture birds by setting out glue traps and making them a trefa when they fell while trying to fly away, and when he would make animals trefas by breaking most of their ribs, which reminds Gemara discusses the case of ribs which are broken or uprooted. So the newbie to Yiddishkeit, who regretted his past when he used to torture birds by setting out glue traps and making them a trefa when they fell while trying to fly away, and when he would make animals trefas by breaking most of their ribs, devoted his life to saving lambs from being clawed by cats, which would make them trefos, which reminds us the Gemara discusses the clawing of a wolf and a cat. All right, so now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions. Which duff do we discuss what the din is if the lung is found punctured in a place where the butcher handles the shechita? That's on duff. Memtes. Good. Number 2. Which duff do you discuss the din of discolored lungs? And we bring the mice with Rabbi Nassim giving guidance for Mila of discolored infants. That's on duff. Mem Zion. Good. Number 3. Which duff do you learn that a drusa requires a bedika, an examination, around the B'nai Ma'ayim? That's on duff. Nun Gimel. Good. Number 4. Which duff do you discuss when the chest wall conceal a hole in the lung? That's on duff. Memches. Good. Number 5. Which duff do you discuss concerns for risuk evarim, concussion of the limbs, where the animal may have descended intentionally? That's on duff. None of. Good. Number 6. Which duff do you discuss a lung with an extra lobe? That's on duff. Mem Zion. Good. Number 7. Which duff do you discuss what is the kars hapnimi? That's on duff. Nun. Good. Number 8. Which duff do we discuss Suffolk Drusa? And we learned that if a lion tore off the head of an animal, we assume its fury was calmed and it did not attack another animal. That's on duff. Nun Gimel. Good. Number 9. Which duff do you discuss where there's a concern for puncture when the lung is stuck to the chest wall? That's on duff. Memches. Good. Number 10. Which duff do we learn the qualifications for Drusa? That has to be Biyad, Bitsiporn, Midas, and also while alive. That's on duff. Nun Gimel. Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldar from Zichru wishing you a great day and great learning.